So where are we going this morning? We're going to the Old Testament, to Proverbs, for our scripture reading this morning. Just one little verse from Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 9. And this one little verse says this. Oh, we're supposed to stand, aren't we? Man, where is my mind here this morning? Let's stand while one little verse is being read here this morning. Of course, how could I forget that? Proverbs 18:9. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, to you we just want to give thanks for this word that we have here in front of us, because this word has the potential for setting people free. And I believe there's a whole church full of people right here, right now, who have been set free by your words, because that's what your word does. Your word changes lives from the inside out. So how is this one little verse, Lord, going to challenge us? How's this going to grow us here this morning? Talking about work and destroying and who is slack in his work. And Father, that's what you do best. You take your scripture and you bring it right into our hearts, and you talk to us through this. So, Father, we're just asking that you talk to us here this morning about this scripture verse that we read here. May these words be blessed, and we ask in the name of Jesus, amen. And you may be seated. This is our 27th week in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And today we're actually ready for this. We're going to conclude commandment number 8. We're going to conclude the 8th commandment today, and we'll move on to the 9th commandment next Sunday. But what is the 8th commandment? It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, as given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. 4 words. You shall not steal. Shall not steal. This morning I'm going to start off by talking just a little bit of Old Testament. Excuse me. Since this commandment was part of the Mosaic Law, what was the penalty for the Israelite if that Israelite was caught stealing? Well, it depends on what was stolen. Exodus chapter 22, verses 1 through 9 says this: if the thief is caught stealing money or goods from a man's house, or steals his donkey or sheep, the penalty was that the thief would pay back double. So, the example I used last week was Kay had a little box of Altoids sitting there. So if I stole her box of Altoids and I was caught with her box of Altoids, I would have to pay back what? 2 boxes of Altoids back to Kay. That is what you called making restitution back in the Old Testament. However, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 7, gives us a harsher sentence for stealing. And it says this: if a man is caught kidnapping any of his countrymen of the sons of Israel, and he deals with him violently or sells him, then that thief shall die. So you shall purge the evil from among you. Kidnapping is stealing. And the penalty for kidnapping, according to Exodus, was the death penalty. God says this: you shall purge the evil from among you. I said this many weeks ago when we were talking about the sixth commandment. I'll say it again. I say this. This is just opinion. If the United States of America would enforce the same sentencing on crimes as God established in the Mosaic Law, I firmly believe the crime rate in the United States of America would be extremely low. Extremely low. God had no problem with the death penalty. He says this: you shall purge the evil from among you. So, that was Old Testament. So I wanted to get that Old Testament material out of the way before we launch into today's final session on this thing, stealing. Stealing. Webster defines stealing as this, and it's written in your bulletin: to take the property of another wrongfully. To take the property of another wrongfully. And last week we talked about the worst form of stealing, and that was stealing the opportunity for someone to hear the saving gospel message. And Jesus talks about these people who do such things, and he comes down hard on religious leaders and other people who do two things. Either A, they preach a false gospel, or B, they fail to preach a gospel at all when they have a golden opportunity to do so, like the Pharisees of his time. In Matthew 23:13, he calls them hypocrites. In Matthew 15:14, he calls them blind guides. And in John chapter 10, verse 8, he calls them thieves and robbers and says that they come only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus had no problem calling people out and even calling them certain names. Well, that was last week. 2 weeks ago, when we started this discussion about stealing, we talked about taking the property of another one wrongfully, and it's actually tangible type property, things that you could touch, taking things from homes, taking things from workplaces, taking things from the church. And this exercise included tangible items such as things that you could take from your workplace that I don't know if we've ever done this. We take pens and paper clips and markers, and if you work in the food industry, you might take food or condiments or silverware. And we also talked about taking money from our employers, and even probably one of the lowest things, people take money from churches. I can't believe people would actually do that, but they do. And we talked about those things that we could touch. But can we steal items that we cannot touch? Is that possible? Well, I think we talked about that a little bit last week, stealing opportunities. But I'm going to give you some more things here to think about. First, here's kind of a fun list that I come up with. Here's a short list of things that can be stolen that you can't touch. For every man that has been married, some young lady stole his heart. Some musical performers have been known to steal the show. Young couples in love just want to steal the night. Some people just want to steal a moment in time. One speaker could actually steal the next speaker's thunder. In 1979, recording artist Robbie Dupree just wanted to steal away with his favorite girl. And the last one, we all know this. We all know that the Grinch stole Christmas. Well, fortunately, stealing hearts and shows and nights and moments in time and stealing thunder and stealing Christmas, none of those are sinful things. They are just simple ways to express strong emotional feelings, and that's all good. But there are forms of stealing, and the objects that are taken cannot be touched. And yet, these forms of stealing are just as dangerous and just as sinful as someone who goes into a Radio Shack and steals a book. Who would ever do something like that? Here's a couple examples of things that can be stolen from us and things that we could steal. Now, I'm going to say this up front. The couple of things that I'm going to mention here up front, I would think that probably nobody in here would ever steal these things. But just maybe these might be stolen from us. As we continue to progress in technology, we have to invent new terms for these technological advancements. And unfortunately, there's a new term that's been invented, a term that we're all kind of getting a little too used to. Have you ever heard of something called identity theft? I just read in the news, yeah, something I say I don't do, but I guess I do. Equifax, I think I said that right, 145 million, up to the possibility of 145 million identities may have been stolen this past week. Wikipedia defines identity theft as this, and I quote, "The deliberate use of someone else's identity, usually as a method to gain a financial advantage or obtain credit and other benefits in the other person's name, and perhaps to the other person's disadvantage or loss, end quote. According to www.identitytheft.info, identity theft claims about 15 million victims a year. So beware of identity theft. And I'm sure, once again, it's probably nothing that we would do here. But here's another form of stealing, that we could steal something that you can't touch. Have you ever heard of something called plagiarism? Plagiarism is to steal or to pass off the ideas or words of another as one's own, or to present a new and original an idea or product derived from an existing source. It is also to use another's production without giving credit to the source. Now, Corey and I, my son, he's a university professor down at Mid-Atlantic Christian University. He deals with plagiarism all the time. When we were talking about that this morning, and he said this, he said, "Dad, when I have my students turn in their papers, if they have to write a 5-page paper, he said, it takes me about 30 minutes to grade each one, about 15 minutes to just look at the content, and another 15 minutes per page to go onto Google to make sure that what they are writing is not someone else's work." Plagiarism. It's very much alive and well in the college scene. And he said many times people have been dismissed from college, from the university, for doing such things. Stealing somebody else's work. You just can't do that. Did you ever notice that when I quote statistics, I quote the source of those stats? Why? Why do I do that? Because in a public speaking or a recorded environment, which I record every Sunday, I need to give credit, and I want to give credit, and I must give credit to the original author and the source of that information. And that's why I'll say something like, well, www.identitytheft.com says this, and I quote, because I have to give them credit for it. And one last thing. I tell a lot of stories in here, and so because I tell a lot of stories, you know an awful lot about me. But here's something about me I bet you didn't know. And let's talk about copyrights. Copyright is another thing that can be stolen. Did you ever notice that occasionally on the inside of your bulletin, underneath the song, there'll be copyright information about that particular song? That's because if we use a song that is owned by somebody else, we have to give credit in the church bulletin to that. And believe it or not, this church has to pay a fee every year to do that, to use somebody else's words. Or some churches, they project those words up on a screen. You have to pay a yearly fee to do that because that's a copyright. Now, what does this have to do with a story of mine? Back in 1980, long time ago, I created a board game, and I have a copyright on that board game. And the board game is called World Hostage. I invented it, I made it up, I took it to a lawyer's office, and I have a copyright on it. There can never be a board game called World Hostage unless somebody contacts me and says, "Can I use that title for a game?" I have a copyright on it. If someday I go to Walmart and there's a board game called World Hostage, that's copyright infringement. And they have stolen that copyright and that information from me. And I also have copyrights on 3 songs. I've written some songs in my life, and I have copyrights on 3 of them. So if anyone else should ever use the music from those songs, those words from that song, they would have to ask me first because I have copyrights on those things. You cannot physically touch a copyright, so to speak, like I can touch this paper, but to infringe on that copyright is a form of stealing, and stealing is a sin. But there's one more form of stealing, of the intangible, that I want to end with here today. And this is where it's going to kind of hit home here a little bit, I think. We might not be involved too much with identity theft or plagiarism or copyright infringement, but some people might agree that what I'm about to talk about, Mike, this isn't stealing. This isn't stealing. But I think if it fits anywhere into the Ten Commandments, it fits best under stealing. And therefore, I think it's worth mentioning. A man by the name of Oswald Sanders elaborates of this other type of stealing, something that's intangible. And he calls it this. He calls it, and I quote, the thief of time. What do we call it? We call it procrastination. And many of us are guilty of it. Aren't we? Procrastination. What is procrastination? Putting off till later what you could do right now. Now, I am going to tell a little story. And it goes like this. Yesterday, I got done with my sermon, got done with the bulletins. But for some reason, I don't know why I do it, I never fold the bulletins until Sunday morning. And I said this, I'm preaching on procrastination tomorrow. I need to fold these things now. So I did. So I folded the bulletins. Procrastination. But can we really define it as stealing? Because here's what stealing says. To take the property of another wrongfully. That's stealing. And I say, yes, procrastination is stealing. Now, let me explain. I believe that the property that is being taken is the gift of time. And who does it belong to? It says the property of another. Who does time belong to? I believe God has given us this gift of time. And we take it wrongfully by misusing it or our mismanagement of it. So to me, procrastination is the mismanagement of this great gift of time that the Lord has given us. Oswald Sanders says this, and I quote, procrastination is one of the devil's most potent weapons for defrauding us of eternal heritage. The habit of putting off is fatal to spiritual leadership. Its power resides in our natural reluctance to come to grips with important decisions. Making decisions and acting on them always requires moral energy. But the passing of time never makes action easier. Quite the opposite. Most decisions are made difficult a day later, and you may also lose an advantage by such delay. The nettle will never be easier to grasp than now. End quote. The secular world would say something like this, that procrastination can steal your dreams and can steal your blessings, and can steal your health, and can steal your future. But from a biblical point of view, what does procrastination do? Well, procrastination is closely related to the sin of laziness or sloth. And laziness is another one of those seven deadly sins. So many of us find ourselves procrastinating only because we are what? Lazy. We are lazy. And the Bible has a ton to say about people who are lazy. Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 tells us, the words of Jesus, tells us to be reconciled to our offended brother immediately, as soon as we recognize the situation. Matthew 5:25, Jesus tells us to settle matters quickly with our adversaries. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 instructs us to deal with our anger before the sun goes down. Not settling such issues quickly is a matter of procrastination, and we are not managing this precious gift of time very well. And when we procrastinate, that's a form of stealing. And stealing is a sin. Let's look at this another way here. Does any of us in here, have we ever said this? Well, I'll go ahead and I'll do this, or I'll do that. And then we find out maybe the next hour, the next afternoon, the next day, the next week, oh, remember that thing that we said that we would do? that we still haven't done that thing. Oh, I'll clean out the garage. I got a list of things this long I'm going to do when I retire in January. Today, I'm going to go home and rip that list up. Might as well, because it's not going to get done, is it? We're filled, the Christian is filled with what? Good intentions. But one way to avoid this type of procrastination is not to make commitments that we know that we just cannot keep because we just don't have the time to do it. Jesus says this, let your yes be a yes and your what? And your no be a no. And he ends that sentence by saying this, anything else comes from the evil one. And lastly, about procrastination. Do we procrastinate doing kingdom work, God's work? What about the things that we promise God that, yes, God, I'm going to do these things, and then we don't do them? Things like praying, or giving food to the hungry, or drink to the thirsty, or clothes to the needy, or visiting the sick, or visiting the shut-ins. Again, many Christians, and we've all done it, we find ourselves full of good intentions. But too often, and I'm included in this, we find ourselves catering to ourselves. Because catering to ourselves is much more convenient than catering to somebody else. And what about that time? What about that time? I know each and every one of you have probably had this happen to you at least once. What about that time when you were just nudged, or maybe you were even pushed by the Holy Spirit to share your faith with that other person? And you know it's the Holy Spirit telling you to do that. It's like that giant whisper, tell that person about Jesus. But you convince yourself that, you know, some other time would be a better time to do that. Not now, Lord. I'll do it when I'm better prepared. I'll do it when I know more about the scriptures. I'll do it when just me and that other person can be one-on-one. I certainly can't do it in this group that I'm in, when all the while the Holy Spirit's kind of pushing you, saying, come on, come on. Come on, Greg. Come on, Gail. Come on, Linda. Come on, Roman. Come on, Mike. And he says those things. And we say, not now. And when we do that, when there's an opportunity to share our faith, that makes us no different than those TV preachers who have those golden opportunities to proclaim the gospel and never do so. Our procrastination in sharing our faith has stolen the exact same opportunity that these people steal. So, stealing. Eighth commandment. Stealing is to take the property of another wrongfully. It doesn't matter if it's taking merchandise from a retail store, if it's taking paper clips from your place of employment, if it's manipulating the financials at your church, if it's taking somebody's identity, if it's stealing somebody else's work, or if it's poor management of our time, which is also a result of laziness or procrastination. Or do you remember like the man in the story I told a couple weeks ago who wrongfully stole the wife of another man out of his covetousness and his lust? They're all sinful situations, and they're all stealing. So that's another way to look at stealing. Next Sunday, we're going to move on. Commandment number 9, lying. And I got a ton of stories I'm going to share with you next week. Let's go to God in prayer.